Welcome to this online interview by Project Cargo Weekly. Our very special guest of honor today and a good friend of mine is Mr. Luke King. He's the director, host and owner of PCP, Project Cargo Professionals, and he's based in Porto in Portugal. First and foremost, Luke, very welcome to this interview.
Bom dia, Bo.
Me too. My Portuguese is below power, but yes, very welcome. Thank you.
That's why I said it. I was curious to know how your Portuguese was coming along.
Yeah, well, let's shift the subject, shall we?
Tabo.
Anyway, very happy to have you here in my little podcast for Project Cargo Weekly. And as you know and have seen from before, I always allow my interviewees to give our viewers a little rundown on their career before. So, Luke, how come you are into broadcasting and podcasting, and why are you in the business you are in now? What's your background?
Very kind. Thank you, Bo. So I've been around the industry for a little while, which you'll remember. In my former life, I was with Heavy Lift and Project Forwarding International, HLPFI magazine, and I think we met around 2007, 2008.
Correct.
And obviously that magazine was set up by Ian Matheson and Peter Edwards, the pioneers of the Project Cargo Media, I would say. And I spent, 15, 16 great years with HLPFI, had a lot of fun, made a lot of contacts in this industry, which I think is one of the best parts of this business. Wherever you go in the world, you meet somebody that you know. There's always somebody wherever you go that you can have a beer with and catch up with. So after I left HLPFI, I wanted to stay in this industry and was thinking what I could do to keep this network of contacts, and decided that a podcast might be a good idea to try.
It seems to have been come along well. I've certainly seen some of your interviews, and I've even been on it. So you're doing well. How would you say? I mean, selling logistics services is one thing where I have some experience, but how do you go about making sure that you as an interviewer or a podcaster get people to come to you? What's the secret? Is it pure sales work, or is it networking that you build on? How do you go about making sure that the world knows that you are around?
Yeah, a bit of all of the above, really. Try to leverage the contacts or the friendships that you've got, and you invite people on. And most of the time, you'll be surprised to hear that people in logistics are not so shy, and they don't mind coming on to talk about themselves for half an hour or so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's for sure. I mean, we don't get customers by hiding away, I suppose.
Absolutely.
And do you attend any trade fairs or trade shows to promote yourself, or how do you do, let's say, you travel a fair bit, I suppose?
Certainly do. Yeah, I try to cover a lot of events. I have a partnership with Breakbulk, which is great because you obviously get to meet so many people at Breakbulk events, customers, forwarders, EPCs, everybody in the business. So I do a series in partnership with Breakbulk in advance of their events, and then I interview people on site. Aside from that, I do cover other events as well, spend a fair bit of time traveling. There's an interesting one going on in Brazil next week, which I was looking at, but sadly haven't got time to go to. I'm not sure if you're there, Intermodal.
I won't be, but the wife will be.
Okay, nice.
So, you know, you have to send number one when number two can't make it, right?
Yeah, and she can speak the language, right? So she's a local.
That should be an advantage, yes. But look, in retrospect, when we think no money, no honey, as the saying goes, when you make a, let's say you make a podcast with somebody who would like to get their name across, do you normally charge something, or do you agree on a fixed fee, or do you hope that something will come out of it later on that can generate revenue? Because at the end of the day, no free lunch. How does it work in your line of business?
Exactly. So I don't charge people to come on as the guests. As you know, there was no bill to you. But what I do is sell sponsorships around the podcast. So I treat the podcast as the editorial in a magazine, as it would have been in the old days. And then I sell sponsorships or advertising around it. Because what I've discovered is that there's an audience that wants to see this content. So that's how I monetize. I sell sponsorships around it.
Okay, and you can make an okay living. I mean, you don't have any other costs besides yourself and traveling, I suppose.
To be honest, I'm investing most of what I'm earning at the moment because I travel a lot and I'm doing it in studios. So I'm paying production and video editing and so on. So it's definitely not a get quick rich operation.
No.
But it has led on to some other interesting projects beside the podcast. So definitely happy that I've done it.
Well done, Luke. Yeah, it's when I was a kid, I wanted to be a journalist, and my father said no, he didn't accept it. He wanted me to become a shipping man. In the end, I did what I wanted to do. But you know yourself, being a so-called journalist, as we claim ourselves to be, when we call up people and we say, "Oh, I'm a journalist," immediately they kind of have an apprehension against us, don't they? Because you're reading the newspaper, you get all kinds of stories. Do you feel that sometimes when you say, "I want to make a podcast," or "I want to interview you," that people are having reservations, or how do you come across
Yeah,
after that?
they do. People get very nervous, which I can understand. But the funny thing about this is that it's always the case that I normally speak to people before we do the actual before we do the podcast, and then you actually get the real story, and they say, "Of course, I can't talk about this." So you know, that's the challenge: how to get those juicy moments on the camera. But luckily, I've had some very interesting guests so far, including well, the first ones that I did last year. That was really great because you've always got stuff to say, particularly about the shipping lines.
Thank
And
you.
I had a really good one with a chap called Kevin who bought a bit of mammut and very outspoken, good character. So that's what I'm looking for on the podcast, the characters that are not afraid to tell their story.
No, I watched that one with Kevin. That was really a good one. And PCP, Project Cargo Professionals, do you need to have, let's say, offices around the world, or can you be anywhere? Do you need more staff? So how do you organize your work? Because I
No,
suppose you have to plan, right?
not at all. I mean, I'm a digital nomad officially. I'm here on a digital nomad visa in Portugal, so I can be anywhere. I do use a studio in Rotterdam because I've got a great guy, Carlos, there who takes care of all the video stuff. But no, I don't need to be in any particular location. Just recorded a really nice interview with the major Portuguese operator here called Lazo. And we were in a wine bar in Porto at the top of the bridge overlooking the rivers just to create a different scenario, something really Portuguese. So yeah, we can be anywhere.
It's funny you mentioned Lasso, because I think in last month's the newsletter where you are now being interviewed too, we had an interview with Lasso as well, in Mozambique.
Oh, okay, Miguel.
Miguel.
Yeah. Yeah,
It's
Lazo are interesting. They're doing really well. They've expanded a lot internationally in the last few years. So it was interesting to talk to those guys.
okay. How do you view, for example, when you make a podcast and people are interested to be featured on your podcast, and of course you mention it on LinkedIn whom you've had, so they get exposure. Do you also allow advertising in your podcast? I mean, how do would that be? You mentioned sponsorships, of course, around
Yeah.
it, but you won't have in the podcast itself that suddenly we take this break and then we have like American TV.
I do it exactly like the American TV. Yeah, this podcast is interrupted to give you a short message by Bo Drewson or whoever it is. No, that's it. It's building a package around the episode, so there'll be a short, very short video or audio ad that goes within the episode, and then there's descriptions and URLs for the sponsors within the descriptions in the video descriptions underneath on YouTube or on the audio apps as well. Banners that go in the newsletter because I write an article about everybody that comes on the podcast. So it's about building a whole package around the content.
Now you're really a professional in what you do, I have to say. Your education, I mean, your background from way back, getting into, shall we say, journalism from the beginning, what was that, happenstance, or what was it? How did you kind of start in Heavy Lift magazine back in the day?
Well, I studied the much maligned media studies and journalism at university, which now everybody tells you is a waste of time. But that's what I did.
All right.
And then had the good fortune to contact Ian Matheson, who ran PR company, still runs PR company, Impress Communications. So
yeah.
I was working with Ian, and then Ian and Peter started the magazine, which was just a fantastic experience.
Yeah.
Never looked back.
Yeah, no, it seems to me the only, let's say, credible one is Heavylift magazine still, and I suppose Journal of Commerce to some. At least I don't see any other. There are a few offshoots, but I don't see any other really, let's say, interesting ones to read, elite about facts and shipping, I suppose.
That's right. And of course, HLPFI has just been purchased by ProMedia, Project Cargo Journal. So a bit of further consolidation in the sector.
Right. Yeah, because it's easy to see, I mean, whether we see normal news or even shipping news, copy-paste, and then you read four different magazines, it's more or less the same, just a little variation of the text.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's where the kind of stuff that we do, we've got an opportunity to be a bit different and get people talking, putting it in their own words and not reading the corporate script. That was the idea of my podcast, at least. And I'm sure you're doing the same thing. Well, I know you are. I saw some of your videos yesterday. Well, I did a bit of research. So,
You're the one.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Luke. No, but I think sometime when I do the interviews, they ask, oh, can I have the questions first? No, you can't. You can see some of the former ones. I normally stick to rather the same. But if you do it too Hollywood style, like, I mean, it's boring. It's predictable. People stop listening after about 1 minute, I believe. So, what's next for you in Project Cargo Professionals? Can you add on your product? Is there, you have advertising around it? You have sponsorships. Is there anything more you can add besides people, or do you plan to have more staffs to help you?
I certainly hope I can add to it. Something that I'm looking at is doing more content in the field, which you know from your background is not always the easiest to get permission to actually film when the Project Cargo is being moved.
Correct.
To go and capture the ship or the land transport or whatever it is. It's not easy. But I have been approached by a manufacturer on the client side who's interested in having a professional film made of their transport to show their products. So that's certainly an area that I want to do, showing more operations in the field. Aside from that, I hope to continue to build my little media operation that I've got here. I also do PR as well. So I help a small number of companies in the sector with press releases or awards entries, a couple of projects we've got going on at the moment. So that's the other side of the business.
Yeah, no, but as I said, you really have, media-wise, you really have the strong background and you know which buttons to push. And I think we have to admit that which business is more interesting than shipping? I can't think of any, no matter what time of day it is. It's never boring, right, Luke?
Absolutely. And the characters that you've got, I mean, there are some great characters in the business.
Yeah. How do you feel? Of course, politics should not influence whatever we do, but the war and all that going on, does that impact on your ability to get interviewees, or are people now kind of keeping a low profile? Do you feel any impact on your business because of what's happening?
Yeah, I thought you would ask about that. I've been speaking to a few people in the industry and it's causing a lot of disruption. I mean, people that do operations locally, they're finding it super tough. And also other people, including people that we know that had plans to expand to the Middle East or move to the Middle East. And now all of those plans are just totally on hold. So it's caused a huge amount of disruption. I'm sure you've been hearing the same thing from your members.
Yeah. More. I mean, most of the network members, for sure. We had in CLC, we had a recently global meeting in Thailand, and about 20 couldn't make it because they were all on flights via the Middle East. So I don't know whether that hub, which we all like to use, especially because of the quality of the airlines, is now damaged forever. I hope not. I cannot find any others. Flying BA is not the same as Emirates. So I hope
that, certainly isn't.
I hope that, no offense to the British, but I hope Emirates will come back very soon.
Well, I'm a Qatar man, but the same sort of thing. Who knows? Hopefully we might get some decent priced flight tickets after this. That might be the only silver lining.
But you know what? With Qatar and Dubai, I think many youngsters who came there and thought that the paves were made of gold now have found out that there can be risks even in that part of the world living. So let's see. Let's hope it all ends for everyone's
Yeah,
sake.
definitely. It's been a big shock. I mean, there are a lot of people from the UK that moved to Dubai recently and had no thought that this kind of thing that could happen. So
No,
big,
no.
big surprise, at least to the younger generation anyway.
Exactly. One of the final questions I have, I always try not to be too long-winded in my interviews. You live now in Porto, Portugal, but you're coming from the UK. How does it feel to live there and you can conduct your business wherever you are, as you mentioned before, right?
Yeah, absolutely. No, I love it. It's a fantastic city. You've been here, so you know it's the quality of life is great. The weather is perfect. It's not too hot in the summer. It's not too cold in winter. The beer and the wine is cheap. I mean, there's nothing not to like.
Well, I can echo that sentiment completely. I'm here in Sweden on a visit right now, and well, I can't wait to get back to further south, I have to admit. So
You told me that you were looking at it about a year ago. You were thinking maybe to stay a bit in Portugal, right? In
yeah, now
Madeira.
we looked at Madeira, I recall, to find a place between Brazil and Europe, but let's say the jury is out. But certainly it won't be Scandinavia. But as long as you have family and so on here, then you're still traveling on that passport. Better respect it. So,
Absolutely. Absolutely.
but look, very interesting always to talk to you, and I also want to. From my side, to say thanks again and appreciate that you gave me the chance to be one of your first interviewees for Project Cargo Professional. So, one of the very final things I should ask here before I forget is, can you see in the future, will people still be interested in getting their name across, or do you see that social media is a competitor to what you are doing or I'm doing, for example, on media? Will LinkedIn take over what we do so people have no time for us? Or will they still like to see interviews like ours?
Yeah, I think so. I think LinkedIn is actually, I would say, the main distribution vehicle for what I'm doing. Although I'm producing these long form interviews, a much smaller proportion can sit down and have time to watch something for 30, 40 minutes. Thinking about the podcast that I love, some of them are like an hour and a half, 2 hours long. Don't necessarily mean that I always watch the whole thing. So yeah, LinkedIn is super important. So you've got to cut the content, you've got to make the short clips. And yeah, that becomes even more important a way of reaching the audience than just putting it there on YouTube. Absolutely.
So people's attention span seems to grow shorter and shorter, doesn't it? It's
It would appear so.
yeah, exactly. Well, it's
So if anybody's still watching us now, congratulations, they've got to the end.
Exactly. Well, attention span, it's like dealing with my kids. It's also very short. So,
Exactly.
but anyway, Luke, I want to say many, many thanks for joining this interview.
Thank you, Bo. I don't feel as qualified as some of the other people that you've had interviews with before, but I really appreciate it, and always good to talk to you.
Yeah, likewise, Luke. And to all my listeners, viewers, and readers from around the world, this was yet another great interview by Project Cargo Weekly. Our very special guest of honor today and a good friend of mine has been Mr. Luke King. He's the director, owner, and boss at Project Cargo Professionals. He's based in Porto in Portugal, a place from which he will not leave, at least not permanently, I'm
Never
sure.
say never.
Never say never, yeah. And do contact Luke if you want to have your company portrayed in one of his fabulous podcasts or interviews. For me in Project Cargo Weekly, until next time, take care and thank you for now. Bye bye.